Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking. We gonna do what they say can't be done. We got a long way to go. So it's time to get there. Watch old Bandit run.
Two more wins. We start loading that bus up.
Yeah, man.
I just thought of a new Hugh.
What's the new Hugh?
Whenever he sings this, he puts on this like Southern drawl.
I know.
It's Southern drawl Douglas.
Yeah, man. That's my song right there, man. Greatest movie ever made. Greatest movie ever made, man. As a matter of fact, I'm going to try to go find it on Tubi tonight. You know what? I know this is a side topic.
No, it's off topic. Oh, boy.
I started watching Stargirl. It just happened to be on. I don't know how.
Stargirl? What is
that? Yes. It's the DC. It's a spinoff of Starman or whatever. But Stargirl, I started watching that the other day.
DC Stargirl.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's,
you got Luke Wilson in there?
Yeah. It's not bad. It's not bad. I start watching, you know how something's on and then you just get stuck watching it?
It's three seasons, so that feels like a commitment.
Yeah, it's a commitment. It's a little bit of
a distraction.
Because I thought it was a movie. So that's kind of how it happened. Because when it came on, I thought it was a movie. And
so
I'm
when
like,
it ended
well,
in a half hour, you're like, man, that was dumb.
I was like, wait a minute. Then I was like, oh, it's a series. It's not bad.
All right, Stargirl. And that's Netflix
or
Tubi?
That was Tubi.
Yeah, hold on a second.
That was Tubi.
We talked about the Tubi stuff.
No, we did. I left the movies like Myth Ghanistan alone.
Sat you down and disciplined you for this.
No, I left Myth Ghanistan alone. I ain't been watching Myth Ghanistan. But, you know, McGraw-Aff, I think there was McGraw-Aff
came out. I thought the Tubi thing was just when you were living in your other place.
No, Tubi's a staple.
Tubi traveled with you?
Tubi's with me.
No, you got to stop.
No, should have left Tubi at the old place, man.
No, I'm saying Tubi's all right. Tubi's all right.
I don't know about that. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Sirianni, of course, the maxi injury is going to be out a few weeks here. We do have a Thursday night game tonight. We'll give a pick on that before the show ends. Let's talk to Sean. Sean in Langhorne has a defense of Nick Sirianni. I am ready for this. What's up, Sean?
The moment was too big for Sean.
Yeah, that's not a strong defense. If that's the best defense you Sirianni guys
poor
got,
defense, actually.
You guys are in big trouble. Kyle is in Port Richmond. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, what's going on? Well, first, I just want to say, I love your show, man. Your banter has got me cracking up in my car, man.
Well, thank you, Kyle. We appreciate you listening. Yeah.
So what I'm going to say about Sirianni is I think they are playing for him, you know, not in spite of him. I don't mind, you know, all the fourth down, you know, tries. I don't mind them trying the different variations of the tush push. I don't mind them, you know, taking a chance, because when it comes down to it, we're going to play against high-powered offenses, and we need an edge. You know, I'm not saying that our offense isn't good enough to compete with, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Detroit Lions and et cetera. But I like the fact that they're trying the variations of the tush push, and I like the fact that they're, you know, taking some chances, because when it comes down to it, we all saw what happened in the Super Bowl when they made it. They didn't take the chance when they should have, and we lost. So I'm not too upset with what they're doing.
So Kyle, one of the things I do like the last few weeks, and I guess this is probably more Kellen Moore because he's designing it, and Sirianni's just the one saying let's do it. But I do like that they have some variations on that tush push. Now they had the one on Sunday, Hugh. Did you see the one they had where I think it was a penalty, but they almost ran a play off at like an speed option?
Yeah,
that one could work. I mean, if they can surprise the team on that, Kyle, that could be a huge gain.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. So, you know, I'm not mad at, you know, some of the decisions, especially against, you know, some of the, you know, not as good teams. You know, when we play up against somebody good, yeah, I want you to be all about your business and have all that in the past. And real quickly on the Sixers, you know, I hear all these, you know, people talking about get rid of Embiid, get rid of this, get rid of that. We all know Philadelphia has a history of when we get rid of a good player, they go to another team and they thrive. Nobody wants to see Embiid thrive in another city. I say, you know, and the thing about another player going to another team is they bring that player into a team where they can fit into the system. And it's that missing piece. I think that's all that we're missing in Philadelphia is the few missing pieces to build around Embiid. And I don't think Paul George is.
Wait a minute. Did you say build around Embiid? Yeah, is that what you said?
No. Embiid. That's
seriously.
What I said. I'm an Embiid fan, man.
I'm not about to sit here and bash you, but dog, he only gonna play every other day. So how we building around?
I know. I don't get that part. And, you know, I can't even say that.
Help me understand. How you an Embiid fan? He playing every other day.
I don't agree with that. I think he's young enough to be able to play at least 90% of the games in the season. Well, but, you know, I don't know what the coach is doing.
That dog don't hunt no more.
Yeah, I'll take, give me a game. Give me a game next week where he's on the court. All right, Kyle, what do you got for us in terms of a bad combo?
Okay, so I got the funny one. Do you want the funny one or the humanitarian one? I'll give you the humanitarian one. The humanitarian one is terrorism and technology.
That's a little deep.
That is deep.
That's heavy for this show, man.
What about the funny one?
What the hell you think we're doing around these parts?
Let me give you the funny one then.
Now that we all heard that one,
now that you've brought us all down.
Yeah, now that I'm scared again. Give us the funny one.
The funny one is diarrhea and long flights.
That's a bad combo.
That is a terrible combo.
Oh, no, you ain't going to make it then. Somebody in trouble.
You.
Exactly.
You mean other people on the flight are in trouble?
Well, yeah. You ain't going to make it.
Everybody's in good shape after that one.
That might be the worst. Tyler, that's a good answer. That's one of the worst ones we've heard all day.
That's a bad combo.
Well, there's also another element to it. How long is the flight?
Yeah.
You know, if we're talking about an hour or two flight, you might be able to bite your lip and get through it.
I'll tell you what, another bad combo.
4 or 5 hour flight, it's a disaster.
How would you handle this, Hugh?
How would I handle that? Oh, I'm in the bathroom. But you know what the bad part? That's why I don't like to fly either. You know why? Little ass bathrooms, man. My big ass can't fit in that bathroom. Like, it's too small. And then to be in there, like, for the extended period of time that I'm going to be in there, that's a cramped flight.
Well, then you got people knocking the door of the line.
Where, yeah.
And then you hear the people outside talking like,
yeah, you're going to have me acting
a fool. Is he still in there?
Yeah.
I got to go.
That's why I don't understand the people that do the Mile High Club. What bathrooms are you doing it in?
The same one that you got an issue in.
I don't believe that.
What do you mean? Do they have a separate bathroom?
No, I'm saying, like, when people say that they join the Mile High Club, you must be on a private flight because you're not on a commercial flight doing all that. And that little ass bathroom. No, I don't believe that.
I disagree with you. I think that's where...
You think so?
Well, how many people have private flights?
Well, you got to at least do it like one of those, what they call it, emeritus flights, going across overseas. That you can't be flying commercial and getting it in those little ass bathrooms. I don't believe that. I do not believe that.
I think we're zeroing in on a segment.
What are you talking about?
Where you...
debunks things?
Just assesses really tough...
No, I'm just saying that's a think about
like
it.
How you
when you
would
go in that
it
bathroom and say like the average person, it's not people aren't that like it's some big people out there. Like I'm a big person. You can barely move around. You can barely turn around in that bathroom.
Well, I can tell you what. There's no way if it works, both people are big.
That dog's not. That's what they call Mission Impossible. It's Mission Impossible right there, bro.
I also like the idea that you believe 70% of Americans are chasing Bigfoot, but you're questioning the Mile High Club's, you know.
I do question the Mile High Club. Everybody that says they're part of it, they're not a part of the Mile High Club.
All right, we originally got to the Bigfoot thing because I asked you for a percentage. What percentage of people that say they're in the Mile High Club are liars, Hugh? That's the question.
I'm going to say 65%.
Okay.
Lied about their mile high status.
That one, I have no idea how to assess that statistic.
Seriously, if you say you're part of the Mile High Club, you need to submit a picture. Because if I can physically look at
that
you.
That sounds gross, dude.
If you can physically look at somebody, you can tell whether or not it's probably possible.
But, you just asked people to send you their amateur pornography.
Hold on.
Send that to Hugh personally. Send that to Hugh personally.
Y'all go to Hugh's DMs.
Not the WIP account. Send it to Hugh.
I didn't mean it like that. I meant to see your stats.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Because
Hugh,
people
whoa,
that say,
whoa, whoa, whoa,
what kind of stature,
y'all done took it
right,
way
let's,
left.
Let's, go and, let's talk to Sean and Langhorne. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's Sorry going on, man?
All right, so you guys talking about Sirianni. You guys talked about we left that's 9 points here, average margin of 4 points. The bottom line is, how many touchdowns, how many points have the Eagles gotten by going for it on fourth down, skipping the 47-yard field goal, convert, move down the field, score a touchdown? How many wins are because of those decisions? So it's easy to say, oh, that didn't work, that's stupid. But, oh, well, these 16 tush-pushes that got us 17 wins, no, that was genius. So you're either all in on the fourth down, the tush-push, the skip the 50-yard field goal, go for seven, or you're all out. You can't be out when it doesn't work.
I disagree.
And then when it does.
So, Sean, I understand your point, but let me give you an example why I disagree. Sean, if I'm cooking and we're having dinner, and I like to cook on high heat, I like to really cook it, right? And three times in a row it was a good meal. And the fourth time I bring you out a disgusting burnt dish, are you going to sit there and say, ah, you made three good ones? No, you're going to be upset that the fourth one stinks.
I hear you, but you're not cooking. You're talking about professional football.
Well, I was
you're
using
talking about, you're talking about decisions that aren't made in a silo. You're talking about field position down the game.
Sure.
So you go for something. So all these things lean on it. Plus, on top of it, this guy is probably very much a player's coach. What kind of look does the defensive guys give him? Like, he knows we're going to stop these dudes. They can't move on us. We can do what we want. That's demoralizing for a team. I'm going to try this shit because nothing you do is going to stop me later.
I like it. No,
so
Sean, I get
think
that.
All of that plays into it.
It does.
And you know what? I'd rather be all in than sitting there punting on fourth and
inning. I'm not a punter. No, I like that. Like around midfield, when you have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, I'm okay going for it. I like that in football. To me, we're talking about points. Right, the idea of points, you know, field goals versus putting points up. And Sean, I think you brought a really good I think you brought a really good point to the table because over time it should lead to more points rather than less, right? Like over time. And Sean, I think this stuff makes sense in baseball. It's a 162-game season. It all evens out. Football, to me, is a very small sample game. So we could talk about it evening it out, but every game matters so much. You know what I mean? Like, every game matters. There's only 17 of them. So if you have one bad day, it's hard for me to say, well, over time it works out. But that one bad day could cost you the division.
Okay, but then you go in as a wild card, you make your run.
Get in the dance. Sure, I get it. All right.
Last thing on the field goal. How many times you watch a football game and you hear the announcers say, whoa, you can't settle for three. You don't win in the NFL kicking field goals. So, you know, who wants to sit there and watch an 18-12 game?
But you got to know the day, Sean. And you're right. Some days you can't, right? You're playing the Lions. I expect you need to score touchdowns to beat that team. You're playing the Jaguars.
Doesn't Sirianni have the best winning percentage, though, in the history of our franchise? So it's working.
It does. Well, it's working now. Yeah, you're right. Okay, sure, it's working to an extent now. All right, Sean, what's your bad combo?
All right, so I came out this late. It's not great, but I'll say an Eagles home game and a Cowboys fan.
That is a bad combo. You don't want those Cowboys fans there. Unless it's an Eagles, like a big win, then you could poke fun at them a little bit.
Yeah, and ha ha ha. Yeah.
Yeah, but that few Cowboy fans that trickle in for the Eagles-Cowboys home games, you don't want them there. We've gotten some really good combinations today. Bad combinations. All right, let's grab Mad Mike, who we know has something to say about the Sixers spiraling out of control. Hey, Mad Mike.
Hey, how are you doing today, guys?
Good.
Hi, Mike, how you doing today?
I'm good. I want to come on
the bus?
I want to come on the bus. I want to go.
Hell no.
We can't give Mike a spot? He seems like a bundle of joy.
I'd be a fun time.
No, I think Mike would have a good time with us. All right, so what do you got for us today?
Joel Embiid is a loser, and I can't believe the Sixers gave this clown this contract. Now he can only play every other day. Like, what a loser. And then your big acquisition, a 35-year-old past their prime Paul George, can't play anymore. We gave him a bunch of money. And then Maxey, who's undersized, smiling. Everybody loves him because he smiles and he's undersized. We gave him a bunch of money. I hope the Sixers don't make the playoffs. I hope they have an awful season.
You probably get what you want.
And I hope that they finally just come to their senses and trade this 7'2" loser to another team and just end it. I'm tired of it. And take that, Spike Eskin, stupid fanboy appreciation of Embiid. I really hope. I just want to see it all the way through. Shut up, nerd.
Yeah, it sounds like that plan is not working out. The seeing it through is we're going to crash into a brick wall here. All right, Mike, what do you got for us? Bad combination.
Milk and orange juice.
Milk and orange juice.
Who does that?
That sounds gross. I don't know.
Can't have too many. Sounds like a bad combo.
Now, do you have to have tried the bad combo to know it's a bad combo? Or do you just know?
It don't sound good. It definitely doesn't sound good.
I've never had diarrhea on a plane.
I mean,
but that's a bit, I can already tell you.
That struggle would be
not a good combo.
Yeah. That's a good point. Right. Yeah, you're right. Maybe you don't need to actually experience it to know.
I think you'd have one and have the other but, and know that they probably don't go together. You know, we can use a little bit of common sense here.
Yeah, you're right. You never, like, say, I don't know, you've never been punched in the face by Mike Tyson.
Right.
That sounds like...
doesn't sound fun.
It doesn't sound like it'll feel
good. It sounds
good.
I have a little analogy after what I'm hearing today with the Sixers and Maxey and Embiid, because everybody's... Just to be clear, Tyrese Maxey got injured for a couple weeks, and everyone's calling in that Embiid sucks,
and that. Our first caller after we broke the news was, this is Embiid's fault.
Correct. So this reminds me of the Tyrese Maxey injury is the Saquon fumble call by the refs, and the Joel Embiid stuff is Nick Sirianni's decision-making.
It all comes back to this.
It's because now we're upset with the Sixers and Embiid, because now the reality of Maxey is going to miss time, which means he's going to miss time with Joel, who's already missed time. And Paul George, who's already missed time. And now it just accelerates the people being upset with Joel Embiid because now it matters more.
I actually think it makes a lot of sense. I mean,
did I nail that?
I think you did. You got into the psyche of
you
people.
You took a while to get there, but you got there.
People are annoying. people are annoyed with the Sixers.
Very annoyed with the Sixers.
This team stinks. And by the way, I didn't know this till earlier today. You said... I think the thought now out there, Hugh, is they might have a bad season. Like, this could tumble over, right?
25 games.
Okay?
25 games.
If they play 25 games together, they're going to not be a good basketball.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.